Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Tuesday night. It is 10 o'clock, and this is Matt Chat live on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ace Diamond, and I am joined for this very special edition of Matt Chat by my part-time co-host, Miss Callie.
Good evening, Ace.
Callie, we have got one heck of a show tonight. While it is not an NWF-centric show, it is a very special show, as we are expecting as our guest none other than second-generation superstar Brian Pillman Jr.
Very special guest indeed. And from everything that I've heard, because I've done some inquiring, this young man is going to turn the wrestling world on its ear. He's talented.
You know, I've done my own inquiring and some research, and I follow the young man on Twitter and on Facebook, and the kid has definitely got a look about him.
I was speaking to a colleague at work this afternoon, and we were discussing this interview, and she asked me what he looked like, because she'd actually seen his father wrestle. She took one look and was like, oh my God, that's almost like looking in a mirror. I'm like, I can see where she gets it. I mean, you look at pictures of his dad from when he was that age. They are. No doubt about the kid's got a look. From everything I have been told by the people that have associated with him during shows, a very humble young man, a very well-spoken, carries himself like he's a veteran. And that, to me, says so much about his character. It's very hard to find young people today that carry themselves in that fashion.
Absolutely.
You want to say something?
It is very difficult to find somebody like that. I think that speaks to his training.
That definitely probably says has a lot to do with it. But then also you got to look at it's not like he hadn't been around it at least some in his younger years. So I think instinctively he has a natural respect for the business. And you see that sometimes in, like, your second and third generation superstars.
Absolutely.
Where they kind of have almost that instinct to have that kind of respect. Considering, I mean, I'm not gonna knock anybody. But I've come across a few people who definitely lack in respect and humility. I won't say they don't have any, but they definitely lack in that area, and I think that's an area that, depending on, I guess, the style you grew up with or you train around, in a lot of cases, it all boils back to your training.
Yes, it does. And just doing my research, some of the people that I've learned that he has trained under. He's definitely got a good base for his training.
Oh, most definitely. And I think that's where a lot of, I personally feel a lot of misconception comes in. Your trainer, or in a lot of cases, trainers, people that elect to learn from multiple different individuals, which in a lot of ways is very smart because you don't just learn one way. Wrestling is an evolving process. You're always learning something. The day you stop learning is the day you need to retire. But that being said, you look at, they give you your foundation. Where you go from there is completely up to the individual. You've got to take whatever those individuals teach you. And if you have the drive, the motivation, and the will, which it seems this young man does, your endless possibilities of where you could end up. If this is something you want to make your life's work, your life's dream, if you've got that drive, that ambition, and you're willing to go out there and you're willing to pound the pavement and you're willing to go night in, night out, I'd say you've got a better chance than somebody who's just going to, you know, yeah, I'm going to show up, I'm going to train, I'm going to, you know, do a show here, do a show there. You got a heck of a lot better chance than they do of succeeding in this business. Because you're actually going out there, you're getting your name out, you're building your resume.
And honestly, if you don't have that drive, if you don't have that desire to do all of that, you're in the wrong business. Because that is what it takes to make it in this business.
I mean, you've got your individuals, I mean, myself included. Don't get me wrong, I want to succeed. And I think for what I've done, I have succeeded. But
well,
I didn't have
any promotion, so.
But I also know that all of us have our roles in life. And I truly believe the role. Some of us have that role. We are going to be that independent worker that, you know, maybe we only work local. But we continue to instill the values that we learned into that next generation. And that to me also is what sets apart your professionals and your greats from your average. Because even the greats like Ric Flair continue to instill knowledge, continue to instill the values that they came up with in this business. And it's up to each generation that follows to pass those same values along, to make sure that each generation knows, basically knows where they're coming from. I mean, you can say, yeah, I came from my parents. No, you physically did. But where you came from in this business is from the people that trained you and that trained them. It really is. It's an ever-evolving circle. And when you see young, talented individuals that have the kind of respect, that have the kind of character that this young man, from everything I've heard, because I have never personally met him, but from everything I've heard, has the kind of character that he does, those are the kind of people you know. You know there's something special about them, and they're the kind of person that, you know, you want to see them succeed more than anything else. There's nobody I would wish to fail, but there's certain people, it's so much easier to say, God, I see it in this person. They are going to make something. And in all honesty, from what I've heard, what little bit I have seen, that is my honest belief with this young man.
I couldn't agree more. I have seen very little footage of him competing, but from everything I have read, from everything I have heard, I think the sky is the limit.
Oh, beyond a shadow of a doubt.
He's got the, like we said, he's got a look. He's got the genetics of a world-class athlete.
He's got what we refer to as that it factor.
Absolutely, he does. And we're just waiting for him to call in, and hopefully that will happen very soon.
Okay.
But, and I don't want to get off track, but I will just for a brief second for anybody who did not see it and wants to know. Your new WWE United States Champion is the glorious one, Bobby Roode. He defeated Jinder Mahal in the tournament finals, which were supposed to happen at the Royal Rumble, then were supposed to happen next week, and got moved up to tonight. So the semifinals and finals happened tonight, and Bobby Roode defeated Jinder Mahal. And I know more than one person on this phone call right now is very pleased with that.
Delighted.
I was going to say ecstatic, but
I'm not going to lie. I am thrilled to death that Bobby Roode defeated Jinder Mahal to become the new United States champion. I'm not going to lie about it.
No, your dislike for Jinder Mahal has been well documented. And I for a while, I was kind of pro Jinder Mahal because he plays a great heel, portrays a great heel, but some of the I think some of the rumors are true about his reported performance enhancement.
We'll leave it at that.
Absolutely.
I feel that things were done with him in a manner that I do not agree with. While I know the wrestler has no control over what a company or how a company elects to use them, however, to this day, I will stand by my opinion that I did not like the way they went about making him a champion. I mean, I don't feel that in any way, shape, or form, visually, he earned it. He put his time in. I will not take that from him. He put his time in the company. But when you look at people earning shots to become champions, I didn't see that in that situation, and that to me right there, that set me off. And
I will not disagree with you on that. I think they had a vision because of where they were going later in the year,
and I will stand by my opinion of that as well.
And then once the Jinder Mahal experiment failed, he wasn't even champion when they went there.
Is it? I am still wholeheartedly, truly believe that if they wanted, for marketing reasons, to have a champion, first off, pick somebody who's really from there, not somebody that's from Canada, who has descendants from that country, but pick people that were actually from there. My goodness, you could have made one of the Singh brothers cruiserweight champion. From what I did see of the cruiserweight tournament, both of them know how to wrestle. There was no reason they couldn't have made one of them the cruiserweight champion. And took a completely revamped group. And it's not the word I'm wanting, but that's the word that came out, so I'm just going to flow with that. A revamped group of individuals and taken that and made that a huge thing there. Instead, they chose to take the person that had descendants from that nation, and he is from Canada, and put the heavyweight title on him, and I just. I digress because I'm about to get on tangent and I don't want to do that.
I agree. They could have done things so differently. And I don't even know how I would have done it, honestly. But back to our supposed guest, who we are still waiting for. I know he's wrestled in this area a couple of times. He's wrestled over in Indiana. He's wrestled up in Dayton.
I did actually happen to speak with somebody who was actually on some shows with him here locally. And, I mean, he's worked with one of the I guess bigger names from the area. I'm searching for my words tonight, and that's so not like me, but that's, you know, that is what it is. I know he worked with Trice. He worked with Cody Hawk. And I mean, when you start throwing out names like Cody Hawk in this area, I mean, people know who you're talking about.
Absolutely. And you know, I think if he was to come to, say, the Northern Wrestling Federation, I think there are some guys in that locker room that he could put on the pre.
I think there are some individuals there that he could have some phenomenal matches with.
I won't say five-star matches because I think those are few and far between.
They are few and far between, but I will be the first to tell you, I think there's some people he could have some phenomenal programs with.
Oh, absolutely.
And that is not just me being biased, because I will be the first to tell you.
I'm just associated with the company, and I believe that there are some guys that he could have some absolutely amazing matches with, one of which being Alexis Montez, who has been a guest on this program a couple of times.
Yeah. I'm going to leave that with, he is something else. But I will tell you now, because if you weren't there and you didn't see it, he went out and he backed up everything he said on this program. He walked out of Fairfield the new NWF Unified Champion.
So if you listen to him, he was still
defending
the NWF Unified Champion. So.
But like you said, there are some individuals in that company that he could definitely have some very, very good matches with. And I for one, wouldn't mind seeing that one day. But that will be what it will be. The wrestling gods will eventually say, yeah, you're ready to that one way or the other.
Absolutely. I personally think from everything I've heard and from what I know of the young man's background, and once again, for anybody listening, we are talking about Brian Pillman Jr., who is due to call in. From what I know of his training and just looking at him, he could probably have a very good match with another rookie. Because from everything I have read, the kid, like you said, he has it. He has that it factor. He has the look. He has the skill.
And he gets it not just physically. He gets it mentally. And I think that's the other thing a lot of people don't realize is wrestling's not just physical. It is very mental.
Oh, absolutely. It's 90% mental and 10% physical, honestly.
If you were to look at that young man and say, work smarter, not harder, he'd know what you meant. You wouldn't have to explain it. Some people I'd look and I could say that too. They'd be like, huh? I'd get that look like the deer caught in the headlights, that really blank stare like, I don't understand what you're talking about. Because I've gotten that look. I'm all about, if I go out there and I'm working with somebody, believe me when I tell you, I am as simple gets, and if I can go out there and be that simple and get my point across to the crowd and get the reactions I want from that crowd, then I've done my job. All of the flying around and doing flips and all that other very pretty, very athletically gifted things that some individuals can do that, I'm sorry, I have led my backside, it just ain't happening. I'll leave that to the younger generation, more power to them. But I've never really been about being flashy. I went out, I've made my point, and I've gotten the reaction I've wanted from the crowd every time. almost to a fault.
And that's, honestly, that comes down to how you were trained.
Oh, that's that, absolutely.
Because I've seen a lot of guys and girls come through that company who were trained in the way you are, and they're not flashy, but they get the job done, they get the reaction.
And I mean, a lot of the guys and young ladies that come through there now, they can do the flashier stuff. But the thing that's important is knowing when to do that. And that's I think, where you see a degree of disconnect sometimes now between generations. You've got the, I want to go out, hit every move that I know how to do, and I want to do 15 finishes in the first 2 minutes of the match. And then you've got the group that says, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to do what I need to do and a little bit beyond, just, you know, because I want to entertain that crowd. I want to, you know, go out there and do my job. I want to get that reaction. But I always want to leave them wanting more so they don't see everything. Best example I will give you of that, I spoke with a gentleman that works primarily up in the Tikwa, Sydney type area, works a lot up that way, made the comment. He's like, yeah, I can do a moonsault. He's like, I do one about 2 times a year. He's like, and when I do it, I get that reaction from the crowd. And it's one of those, it's so, not even necessarily unexpected, but it's not a common occurrence that it doesn't lose its value. You can see him do it every single year, but it never loses its value because you don't see him do it all the time. These young guys that do these really, really pretty flashy, like, shooting star press, to me it's flashy, maybe because I can't do it, but like the Hurricane Ranas and all, I mean, there's just some really pretty high fly moves, and you see these guys do it, but you see them do it so often that to me it loses some of its value because you see it all the time. And then you see another guy that does the same move, but he only does it when he needs to do it, when he needs that extra something from the crowd. He'll hit that, get that reaction, and he can continue to get it because you don't see it. That, to me, is a huge difference between generation now and generation, I don't want to say generation then, because you see some of them still now, but it's definitely a difference in style, in training, and in really the companies you work for. Just certain companies are very, you know, this, 15 finishes in the first 2 minutes of a match. And nothing against them. It's not my style, but the crowd gets it. They like it. More power to them. And I've seen some very phenomenal matches come out of places like that. But I've also seen a lot where I want to say, Jake Roberts would have a cow if he just saw that. Since when was a DDT not a finish? I mean, There's certain things that have changed with the times, and some of us progress with it, some of us don't. But it's all in it's all in also knowing how to cater to your fan base.
Absolutely. And it's funny you bring up the DDT as a finish and Jake Roberts, because, I mean, the man invented the DDT completely by accident.
That's exactly why you, that's exactly why I put those two together.
But, I mean,
if you recall,
yeah,
I was very fond of using that for a finish.
Because he, yeah. That was...
I put those two together because I associate the DDT with him.
And that's... Honestly, that's one of my favorite finishers because, A, it's so easy to do.
It's not a real hard move to learn to do or to take. And for me, it's really when you look at a lot of the finishers that guys have nowadays, to me, really, that's one of the, that's a safe one to take. Like, it's very,
absolutely,
it's, you can, and I, listen, I'm giving away everything I know right now. It's very important to be able to protect yourself in there, to try to prevent yourself from getting injured, or really in all necessities, trying to keep your opponent from getting injured. And when you hit, when you use moves like that, it's easier. Like, I've DDT'd you. And let's face it.
You had to bring that up, didn't you? You just had to bring that up.
I'm going with the point of...
If you hadn't brought it up, I was going to, so...
So if you stop and think about it, of everything that I could have chosen to use in that moment, that was something that I had complete control on, and you knew you were going to be protected.
Absolutely.
And I would never in a million years advise anybody that doesn't have training to get in there and do moves, even moves like a DDT, that are easy to learn to give. They are easier to learn to take that move. Be sure you're properly trained, though.
Absolutely. We worked on that move for
I know,
months?
A few weeks.
Probably close to 2 weeks.
So I made sure you were comfortable with it. I was completely comfortable to give it, but I wanted to make sure because you were not a trained wrestler. You're not a trained wrestler. Let's call it what it is. You're not a trained wrestler.
Yeah.
But I wanted you to be comfortable enough when the time came to do that. We had all the glitches worked out. Everything that you needed to know to be safe was there.
Even if my shoes did come off every single time.
Yes, that was great. That's one of those where you know you're going to get the reaction from the crowd you want.
Yes, that made the reaction that much better. Unfortunately, I have not heard from Brian Pillman Jr. yet. And I have no way to contact him. So it would appear we may need to end up rescheduling that particular interview.
I'm thinking so.
But while we've still got a little bit of time, we can go ahead and start to discuss next week, where it will once again be you and I.
Exactly. And let's just say with that, let's just get it right into this. Let's not get too far. This Saturday night, we are going to be at Bone Crushers. That is 6105 Vine Street in Elmwood Place for a bone-crushing night of action. Hot off the heels of a very successful show in Wilmington. It was cold outside, and I do apologize to the fans for not being there, but cold outside, but from everything I saw and heard, the action was scorching hot. I mean, talking about guys that pretty much went out and delivered exactly what they said they were going to do, we have new tag team champions. The NWF has new tag team champions. The Crimson Mafia came out of Wilmington, the brand new Northern Wrestling Federation tag team champions.
And I'm going to be one of those guys who just comes right out and says, I believe they earned those titles. I didn't see
the match.
But...
Check out Bustin' Loose. They actually do have that match on there. I will say, As I predicted, and as I feared, the X factor, so to speak, in that match was having the experience of Wildcat Chris Harris there ringside.
I am not at all surprised by that fact.
And I'm hoping that when the time comes that Jordan Clearwater and David Tyler get their rematch, that they are able to neutralize that factor. But let me say this too, that is a hard factor to neutralize.
Absolutely.
The man is big, he is strong, and he has got a wealth of experience.
You know...
And then, like,
they want to neutralize that factor. I do know somebody who is in the NWF who may not be as big, may not be as strong, but definitely has the experience factor over Chris Harris. And if I was Jordan Clearwater and David Tyler, I might be making a phone call.
And I think I may know who you're referring to. And I'm going to tell you now, that would be a very wise phone call to make. Because there is no better person to have your back than that man.
Absolutely.
That you are referring to.
Absolutely, 100%.
Like I said, we are heading into Bone Crushers this Saturday night. The doors open at 6, special 7 p.m. bell time. There is plenty of seating. There is heat. So make sure you join us this Saturday at Bone Crushers. We will have pre-sale tickets available at the show for our upcoming date on January the 27th when we make our return to the UAW Hall in Fairfield. And let me tell you, I've heard some of the matches already announced for that show. Good God, have mercy. That is going to be a powder keg. Literally a powder keg.
And... speaking of that particular weekend, that is also Royal Rumble weekend, just out of curiosity, I want to get your predictions for the two Royal Rumble matches.
See, two Rumble matches. Let me think. I mean, for the men's, I pretty much have three picks as to who I think's gonna win, and it's just a matter of which one of them. And anybody that knows me is not gonna be surprised by.
I think I can.
Oh, I know you can guess two of them. My three picks for the men's Rumble. My three picks for the men's Rumble is Randy Orton. Can he do it for a third time? Finn Balor, who I don't care what anybody in upper management there thinks, that boy is over. The crowd has such a love for him. It is so unreal.
Absolutely.
And then my third pick. Because I will admit it would make for a very intriguing match at WrestleMania. Would be Shinsuke Nakamura.
That
so you're looking
would
at two guys that have never won the Rumble.
Match.
You're looking at two guys that have never been in the Rumble. I don't think they've even been in the Rumble yet. And then Randy Orton, who's won it twice now. Can he do it a third time?
And I think we're about out of time, but my picks for the Royal Rumble matches are, I believe Shinsuke Nakamura will win the men's Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it will be a clean sweep for Japan, and Asuka will win the women's Royal Rumble.
I think that's a very interesting theory to have Asuka win it.
But we are
very
about out of time. So once again, my apologies for our missed guest. It will be you and I again next week to discuss the NWF Fairfield show for Miss Callie. This
Buy your
is
tickets.
Ace Diamond. Go ahead.
Buy your tickets. The BP station on Main Street in Hamilton and all live Northern Wrestling Federation events. We will see you this Saturday at Bone Crushers.
We're out of time, everybody. Good night.